You're listening to Average Joe Sports Talk Podcast with your boy E-Man.
Yo, what is up, everybody? This is your boy E-Man coming at you, episode 47. Huge weekend. Huge weekend of the NFL, as it was the 2019 NFL Draft. And in one of the weakest quarterback classes I've ever seen, honestly, I think it's one of the weakest NFL draft classes I've ever seen. Ton of defensive players, not a lot of offense. Even the defensive players, except for Nick Bosa, maybe Josh Allen, I don't see any like domination. But I think it's one of the weakest NFL classes I think I've ever seen, regardless of the fact. There's a lot of players here that I don't think you could say, hey, man, that guy is Saquon Barkley. He's going to be Rookie of the Year and lead the league in all-purpose yards. I didn't see a single player that, you know, jumped up to me in this draft. With that being said, you know I'm only going to hit the highlights and the point that your boy E-Man is interested about in the draft, and that's just how did my G-Man pan out in this draft? And with the number 6 pick, we go after Daniel Jones. Yo, listen, guys, I'm just like anybody else, any other Giants fan, picking up a quarterback in a weak quarterback class, using number 6 pick, and then picking Daniel Jones. My first thought was, just like any other regular fan, what the heck is Kettleman doing? I'm going to break this down to you. Look, he may not be Sam Darnold. I'm talking about Daniel Jones. He may not be Baker Mayfield, even Josh Rosen, who, by the way, I'm going to hit on Josh Rosen after I'm done with the Giants draft pick evaluation and analysis, because that was huge trade for the Dolphins. Anyways, usually I'm happy if a player gets drafted from Duke. I'm talking about Duke basketball, not football. What happened here? Well, a couple things. Let's first break down the kid, y'all. The kid, look at his college career. You know, he threw for 8,200 yards, 52 touchdowns, 29 interceptions. He rushed 1,300 yards, 17 scores, through 36 games that played at Duke. Duke had no supporting cast for this guy. He actually was the whole offense of that team, and Duke was over 500, had been over 500 since the kid has been starting. Duke is not known for playing football. This is like the first rounder of Duke since like 1995 or 2015. First quarterback ever from Duke to be chosen this early in the first round. Pretty good. We know he has the smarts. He scored a 40 in the Wonderlink, which had the highest score this year in the Wonderlink test. All right, you know, so far so good. He's a goofy looking bastard just like Eli. It has ties to Daniel Cutliffe. Eli Manning is huge with him. Physically looks like Eli, not as tall as Eli. And you know what? He has what they say, the smarts and the pedigree like Eli Manning to replace Eli. And this kid has the ability to take in and learn from Eli Manning and Pat Shurmur and sit behind Eli for 2 years until he's ready. So he has the patience, unlike Haskins, Dwayne Haskins, that's what they said. He has a good build, his strength, has good pocket presence. No athleticness is going to get you crazy, but he has enough quickness that he could get out of trouble. Great field and timing, has great back shoulder throws, as he can make some good throws. He can make some decent throws throughout. You know, his mechanics, they're okay. He has a little longer delivery, which usually doesn't work well in the NFL. You know, what they saw from this kid is the fact that he could make something out of nothing, playing with a squad from Duke that he's like the only offensive presence in that team, and not having any name brand superstars, wide receivers, or running backs in that squad that can complement his gifts. So 6'5", 221, definitely quarterback build. No doubt about it. Has the smarts, and they think that he's going to sit behind Eli and learn and be ready in a couple of years. Now, the big question that all us Giants fans are asking, couldn't we pick Daniel Jones if that was our guy with the 17th pick? These GMs and presidents know what they're doing, right? That's the reason why they get paid the big bucks. And they said that they felt very, very strong that Washington was going to end up picking Daniel Jones and or the Dolphins with the 13th pick and the 15th pick. I don't know about that. Those are the only two teams that could worry about going up, you know, after Daniel Jones. I don't think so. I think Miami was not going to go after Daniel Jones because they were already had it in their mind. They're already spoken to the Cardinals that the most likely if they got Kyler Murray, yo, we're going to trade Josh Johnson for you guys for a second round pick if you get this guy for me. I think that was edge in stone. And I think the Redskins had their heart set on Dwayne Haskins. So yes, I think he would have been available at 17. We should have probably gotten Josh Allen with number 6. an edge rusher that the Giants actually do need, who's a beast. But again, Giants are thinking, this is our quarterback, this is our future. Eli's heir apparent. Let's get him before somebody else gets him. That's the thought process behind the Giants. And you know what, man? Who knows? Yes, maybe they could have gotten more talent out of this. But hey, who knows? You really don't know. They picked the quarterback that they wanted to pick. And usually you pick the player that you want early on so nobody else gets it. That's just the bottom line with Daniel Jones. That's what you're getting out of this kid. What do I see? I'm going to give him a shot. He seems to be well-rounded. Has adversity. You know, he could see adversity. He was in a starter right away out of college. Seems like a very hard worker. 8,252 touchdowns. You know, they're not incredible numbers to blow you out the water. Also, you know, rushed 406 times for 1,300 yards, 17 scores. I mean, college, pretty much any quarterback can actually score touchdowns. But it also tells you he's semi-athletic. People are giving this draft pick like a D or a C. I'm going to give it a B. Just for the fact. And Giants fan, let's give the kid a shot. At the end of the day, if he pans out well, this number six pick is going to be known for a very, very long time. Pretty much it. I agree with a lot of folks who should have tried to pick him at 17th, not at 6. But hey, is the quarterback the team wanted? And that's the quarterback we're going to have to go with. Numbers are solid. And there's not a lot of highlights of this guy because he played for Duke. Duke is not well televised out there. So hey, we might get surprised. Don't expect him to start this year. Probably the end of next year. We're stuck with Eli for two more years. And I'll take that. In the meantime. But I'm going to give Mr. Daniel Jones a shot. Hopefully he can prove us wrong for the sake of Gettleman. And another reason why they picked this cat is Pat Shurmur has the West Coast offense. You don't need somebody with long, strong arm that goes down the field all the time. Because this offense is going to be predicated on short passes to Saquon Barkley, semi 10 yards to Golden Tate, Shepard, Evan Engren, and the other wide receivers. They got rid of OBJ, Odell Beckham Jr., so therefore you're not going to see a lot of downfield stuff. It's going to be more of a controlled dink and dunk, flares, 10-yard passes, defense. And I think that they need to just, you know, I don't know how much work they did in drafting to, you know, strengthen that line, but we'll see. We'll definitely see it. As far as the rest of the picks for the Giants, look, I'm not going to go into every freaking draft pick, but I'll give you maybe the next two or three. Dexter Lawrence at 17. Giants really not need a defensive tackle. This one boggles me a little bit. He seems like a good player. No clue who he is. Pick number 30, cornerback, DeAndre Baker. I'm good with this pick. The Giants definitely need a cornerback to go right there next to Janoris Jenkins. You definitely need, that's a void that they needed to fill, and I believe that was actually their best pick in the first round, was this kid, DeAndre Baker, cornerback, because they filled a need right away, and I think this kid is actually going to start his first year, pretty much with that. Round three, because, you know, they did not pick anything in round two. Round three, defensive end, not bad. This guy is a, you know, they got a net, you know, like an edge rusher where they should have gotten Allen at the beginning, but they need an edge rusher. They need somebody that can defensive end, that can, you know, rush the side that we're winning, that we're actually lacking on. And this kid definitely goes through. Look, round number four, Julian Love, another cornerback. I have no idea who he is from Notre Dame. Remember, college is not my strong suit. I always concentrate on the early picks. But round six, we picked up this kid, Corey Ballantyne. Kid was hyped. Good player from Washburn University, and then all of a sudden gets shot like 8 hours later in Topeka, Kansas. Damn, I didn't know Topeka, Kansas was this hardcore, bro. The kid gets shot 8 hours later, and his teammate, this guy, Corey Ballantyne, gets injured. He goes into the hospital. He survives, but his teammate, who've been homies for a while, gets killed. I don't even know what the guy's name is, but actually gets killed, and it's crazy because it was like, it was right after they got 8 hours later. They I don't know if they were partying. There's not too much detail on what happened. But this young man, Corey Ballantyne, gets shot 8 hours after he announces himself in the draft. And his buddy, Dwayne Simmons, was killed in the shooting with him that he was involved in, that, you know, shot at, which is crazy. So this sixth round pick, rookie Corey Ballantyne, gets popped, man. He's in the hospital. You know, I hope good and speedy recovery for this kid. And my deepest condolences for the Simmons family, which is crazy. oh man, they were celebrating, I guess. There's not a lot of details on the shooting. At least you could say this, and I don't want to sound like a complete douche, but the last time a Giants player got shot, we won a Super Bowl with Plaxico Burress. Hopefully this is a sign of, like, negative, a scenario and make it into a positive. Not making fun of the situation, guys. Not making fun of the situation, but the last time a Giants player got shot, we went to win the Super Bowls. I think it was a year later, or whenever he came back out of jail. Enough said. Or before he went to jail, I forget, but I don't know if Plaxico just came out. But yeah, that was the last time we got shot, man, so we won the Super Bowl. Overall, we got to give Daniel Jacobs a chance. That's all you could ask for. That's it. Hope us fans are wrong about hating this pick at number 6. And I hope Gettleman is right. That's all you could hope for. I'm going to show some love to my local market, baby. The Dolphins. Everybody knows I'm a New York transplant in South Florida. Rep my New York teams all day till I die. But I'm going to give some love when there's some love-worthy news here in South Florida. And that was a trade of Josh Rosen from the Cardinals to the Dolphins. All weekend, you were saying that they were saying that the Dolphins and the Patriots had the best opportunity to trade for Josh Rosen if Kyler Murray was drafting number one. Kyler Murray was drafting number one. I'm not going to go into Kyler Murray. Everyone knows how I feel about Kyler Murray and his decision to play football over baseball. Been well publicized in my podcast and in my Twitter account. But Josh Rosen was number 10 quarterback pick last year in a real strong quarterback class. Gets traded to the Dolphins. And I think is a unbelievable trade for the Dolphins because it has no room for failure. And a huge ceiling for success for the Dolphins. Second round pick, I will make this trade every day. Look, I'm a Josh Rosen fan. Even though his numbers through 14 games did not prove it last year. 11 touchdowns, 14 interception, 26% QBR. So that's horrible. And he threw for 2,200. That's almost 2,300 yards. Horrible. He stunk the freaking bet. No doubt about it. Look, I thought that Rosen was probably the most ready quarterback to start over Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold. I said Sam Darnold has the highest ceiling and Baker Mayfield is Johnny Manziel. I was wrong. I still think Rosen has great ability and great potential to be a great quarterback. Maybe not great, but a good quarterback. A Philip Rivers kind of quarterback. But anyway, at the end of the day, I still don't like Baker Mayfield. I like Sam Darnold more and Josh Rosen. I'm going to stick to my guns even if I'm wrong. But I think he really did not have nothing to work with in Arizona. I don't think he made a lot of moves here to impress the team or impress for them to keep him. I know they went after Kyler because Kingsbury, the new coach, that's just the kind of quarterback he needs for his offensive scheme. And Rosen doesn't fit that athletic, moving and throw on the move kind of player. Josh Rosen can make every throw. He's your prototype quarterback, Eli Manning, Peyton Manning, Brady kind of quarterback. All right, guy that stay in the pocket and sling it, can make any throw, may not be athletic, but he can move good enough that he could get away from certain situations, but can't take off for like 10 yards or 15 yards, right, in the run. But he can make every throw, has a great arm, smarts like crazy. I think that Arizona should have just drafted something else and build around this kid, but I don't get paid the big bucks like the GMs do. So they went ahead and decided to go after Kyler Murray. I think that this trade for the Dolphins was just a no-brainer. Man, I think the Dolphins have a great opportunity to actually have some really good games next year. He's better than Tannehill, who they had before and traded him to the Titans. Let's take a look. I mean, he had nothing to work with. So Larry Fitzgerald and David Johnson have very high praises of this kid. You know, David Johnson said, when it's all said and done, this kid's going to be one of the greats. Larry Fitzgerald said that this kid is humble through his word, always coming to work. He works hard. I mean, you got to get a good player in him for the Dolphins. And an interesting stat is that they couldn't keep this kid protected whatsoever. He was sacked 45 times in 14 games last year. He had 8 games with getting sacked at least twice. So his sack average was about 3 per game. So he was getting sacked about three times per game. That's insane, man. That's not a lot of time to work with. Again, it didn't help his cause, but he didn't really have a lot of weapons. All right. He did not have a lot of weapons to work with. Look, he does have a Hall of Famer in Larry Fitzgerald, but Larry's old, man. He's lost some speed. You know, David Johnson came back from that blown ACL, and he had a decent year. Did not break 1,000 yards. And Larry Fitzgerald, man, had 734 receiving yards with 69 receptions, 6 touchdowns. It's tough. You know, David Johnson had added another 590 in the, you know, added 446 in the air and three touchdowns. So those were your two best players. Not a lot going on there. And then, of course, the offensive line could not keep it together to defend this kid. Pretty simple. I mean, he's not going to a better situation in Miami because they have the same problems of the offensive line, but I think it's a fresh new start. And the fact that he's going to compete against Fitzpatrick, you know, Fitzmagic, it gives him an opportunity and a second chance. I think this kid's at all the tools. Great arm, can make every throw, smart as hell. I think he could be a good quarterback. A good quarterback. For the Dolphins, it's a win-win game. It's a win-win situation. If the guy does great, quarterback of the future. Build around him next year. You don't have to go after Tua. If he sucks, he's going to be a good backup quarterback, and you can go after Tua. That's it. It's a win-win for the Dolphins. So a second-round pick is worth every single dime when it comes to acquiring somebody like Mr. Josh Rosen. Give him credit. He showed great class, Josh Rosen did. Made a great video wishing Kyler Murray luck, thanking Arizona, the organization, and then saying that he's ready to work when he gets to Miami. He said that he's not many people get a second opportunity to showcase their talent, to debut for a second time like he did, like he is now. Said all the right things. I think the kid matured a lot in the last year. I think he humbled himself because he was always outspoken in college and, you know, very kind of like cocky. He does have the skills to be a good quarterback and maybe even great. So the Dolphins got themselves, I think, a winner in the draft. I think this was probably the best pick anybody could have gotten, even though it was a trade. So that second round pick may pay out huge for the Dolphins in the trade of Josh Rosen. Shout out to the Dolphins, man. Let's see what Brian Flores and his staff has to do. I mean, they made some really good picks throughout the draft. A lot of players, a lot of big dudes, man. Meat and potatoes kind of guy from big colleges. So I think he's bringing the Belichick mentality. Let's see if this Belichick disciple can turn the ship around and maybe turn Josh Rosen around and make him the next franchise quarterback since Dan Marino. We shall see. Now let's jump on to the NBA, baby. Second round of the playoffs in full effect. Your boy's going to give you his prediction, analysis, and reactions coming up. So here we go, man. Your boy E-Man, man, got slaughtered a little bit in the first round. I thought that my boys, the Spurs, were going to pull it off, man. And they almost did. They almost did. Just a little miscommunication. And I guess DeRozan is getting to be known for who he is. And that's just somebody that's not going to win in the playoffs. Damn. I was wrong. They almost pulled it off. They almost pulled off the Young Nuggets. But anyway, I want to start with the 76ers and Raptors. I'm going to take the Raptors on this one. I think it's going to go six games. Raptors are definitely going to take this one. They took game one, 108-95 with Kawhi, 45 points and 11 rebounds going buck wild. I honestly think that the Raptors are going to take this in six. They'll definitely beat the 76ers. They don't have enough weapons. They don't have enough weapons and enough bench to compete with the Raptors. They're just they're a better team. Warriors and Rockets. Now, this is the NBA Finals and the NBA Championship right here. I'm going to say seven games, Warriors. First game, full of chippiness, 104-100. All the foul information with Harden, and oh, they should have called a few fouls like this. Guys, I'm going to break this down right now. Forget this. When a jump shooter jumps up, he jumps up straight, and he lands. James Harden is starting in like 3 feet and landing 3 feet ahead into the player. That's not a foul. If they call it in the regular season, that's the regular season. Traditionally, in the playoffs, they let the kids play a little more. And let's stop complaining about fouls because guess what? James Harden went to the free throws 14 freaking times. You want to get more fouls called than that? Come on, man. Take your jump shot. If you're going to land on the player, that's not a foul. You're landing on him. Thank you, Reggie Miller, for doing that stupidity and creating that BS. But that's not a foul. I don't care who says it. We already don't call a walk on his two-step step back or three-step step back. So no, you take a jump shot, and if you're going to intentionally land on the player's foot, that's not a foul. That is not a foul. Last time I checked, a defender has to go straight up in the air towards the ball. If you're not hitting the hand, the elbow, the wrist, or you're tackling him down, then no, it's not a foul. End of discussion. Rockets are going to go down on this one, and I think the Warriors are going to win in seven. This is the best series of the playoffs right here. It's going to be, these teams are like each other, and this is nice to see a rivalry that we haven't seen in a long time. Warriors in seven, no doubt about it. Celtics and Bucks. Even though the Celtics won game one, I'm still going to go with Milwaukee. Still going to say seven games, Bucks. This one I might be wrong, just like I was wrong with the Denver Nugget game, the series. And remember, I said that the Rockets may lose to the Jazz because it was kind of those teams that didn't match well, but I still picked the Rockets. I was completely wrong on that one because I still picked the Rockets. I just want to make that clear. But I think the Bucks are gonna win in seven games. I don't think Giannis is going to have that bad of a game again. The supporting cast should step up again. But shout out to the Celtics, man. I mean, dude, Brad Stevenson is just a genius who knows how to get these players prepared. And I didn't give the Celtics a lot of credit because it wasn't a great, even though they swept the Indiana Pacers, they every game was close and they play them hard. And without Oladipo, they didn't seem impressive in the first round. But this first game against the Bucks, they were really, really impressive. But I still got to pick the Bucks to win in seven. And Nuggets and Blazers, seven games. Yo, Damian Lillard, man, game time Dame. He's the most underrated player and point guard in the NBA. And he answered, I think he's better than Russell Westbrook. All right? I think he's been doing this forever. We forget about the 2014 playoffs, round one, big three, winning the game. This last game six, when the dude went out there, Sterrett Paul George, took a 37-footer. He scored 50 points in that game. Game winner, Stir at him, wave him bye-bye. The kid... He's just clutch. He's been clutch all his career. Averages 25 a game. Come on. Blazers are gonna take this in seven. They're gonna take this in seven. I think it's to me too much Dame. Too much Dame game time, baby. Damian Lillard, and I think the Nuggets do match up better with the Blazers than they did against the actual Spurs. And I still think the Nuggets don't have not the maturity, but the experience to win another round. They barely got by the Spurs. I think the Blazers are taking this series in seven. That's it, folks. The Blazers in seven. Bucks in seven. The Milwaukee Bucks over the Celtics in seven. Warriors in seven over the Rockets. And Raptors over the 76ers in six games. I think this is what it's all about right here, man. It's going to be definitely game time. It's going to be a great second round. I think this series is going to be very close. And some opportunity for some upsets. So, hey. Round one is usually a snooze fest, but we had some competitive series, actually. I think that New Jersey series against 76ers, even though the Nets lost, it was all close games, good games. I mean, the Spurs and the Nuggets went seven games. It had some good matchups. It was exciting. And the second round is going to be even better. Right now, today's Monday, the 29th, and the Raptors and Sixers are currently playing. Third quarter, 5 minutes, 59-53, Philadelphia. They actually had like a 15-point lead early on today. So I still call them. That doesn't mean anything because I still think the Raptors are probably going to win this game. Game two, they're going to come back. And they're going to win the series in six. Six games. Pretty simple, man. 4-2. I want to close out the show with my thoughts on Tariq Hill. So Tariq Hill, who's an incredibly gifted, probably the fastest NFL player, regardless whether wide receiver, a punt returner, whatever the case may be, probably in the history of the NFL, had an unbelievable season. One of the best weapons for Patrick Mahomes. It's being brought up again because of his abuse, accusation of his son, his child abuse, that was opened up a year last year. You know, they closed that book, be saying there was not enough proof or whatever the case may be. But now there's some new recording that has come up and has some clips, some very disturbing audio coming from Tariq Hill talking to his wife, his fiance, Espinal, the same fiance that he, back in college, he was, he assaulted her, and stemming from a December incident where he punched her and choked her when she was pregnant. So the kid, 3 years old, same couple, same girlfriend that he almost choked out while she was pregnant and assaulted her in college. New audio has resurfaced. That was pretty disturbing, and Tariq Hill is at it again. And the NFL is considering in placing Hill on the commissioner exempt list. Now, let me share with you some of the audio, right? So, in the audio, is described as Espinal saying that your son is terrified of Tariq Hill. And Tariq Hill responds, like, you need to be terrified of me too. You know, B-I-T-C-H. I'm not going to say the word. And then she responds saying, you also use a belt too. And Tariq responded to that, what do you do when a child is bad? You make him open up his arms and you punch him in the chest. Old school mentality is, yo, I got whipped with a belt when I was a kid. Maybe not a lot, but over time, a switch. You know, we go back to the whole issue with Adrian Peterson when he hit his son with a switch. He was put in for like a 7-game suspension, even though he didn't have any of the domestic assault battery charges that Mr. Hill has against his pregnant girlfriend. And look, old school mentality is that, you know, you whipped your kids, man. You hit them with your belt. You spanked them. But I think the difference here is when you're punching your kid and you intentionally beat him with a belt, man, like that, because that's what you do. That ain't right, man. This is a new era. That mentality might have worked a few years ago, but that's not where we're at nowadays. And as gifted as Tariq Hill is, he should not be allowed to play in a team, man. Number one, domestic abuse. Women abuse is not tolerated. This woman was pregnant with your son, and you choked her and beat her. You know, you're lucky that there was no issues and no complications, and then you have a kid that's born, a beautiful son, and now you are expressing and taking your anger on him now that you cannot do it on your wife or fiance. So, bro, there's a problem with Tariq Hill. He hits on women because it's probably weaker than her, than him, and now you're taking it out on your son. It's like you never wanted this to happen. It ain't the kid's fault that you're a douchebag and a pussy, and I apologize for the words and the cursing. Because anybody that beats a woman, it's a fucking pussy. They're weaker than a man, and especially than an athlete. And when you abuse a 3-year-old, it's a 3-year-old for Pete's sake, man. Kid can defend himself. He's 3 years old. You gonna whip him with a belt at 3 years old? Nah, man. It's not like he's a teenager or a 7 or 8 year old. He's a 3-year-old. You punch him in the chest? Nah. This guy does not deserve a chance in the NFL and to make any money. His ass should be in jail and banned from any freaking team out there. Any freaking team out there. You cannot, the NFL cannot give this guy another shot. I don't care how gifted he is. He's not above the law. He's not above the program. It's a 3-year-old kid. What kind of tough love are you going to give a 3-year-old kid with a belt and punching him in the chest? Because you want to teach him some manners or discipline. That's BS, bro. You're not a man, Tariq Hill. You're a freaking pussy. Pick on somebody your own size that can swing back. That's not a 3-year-old or a woman. I'm sorry, man. I got a little rough with this ending here, man. But I disagree completely with the situation. And he should not get a chance. He got a second chance already and he blew it. He does not need another one. That's not the way you raise a kid or you parent or you be a husband or a mate. That's BS. That's bullshit. I don't think we're going to see Tariq Hill on the football field next year. And hopefully never again. That's all I got, guys. This is your boy, E-Man. I appreciate the love. Again, man, my downloads are blowing up. My last 2 months, I've been unbelievable. And I have everybody but thank, I'm nobody to thank but you guys. My loyal listeners have been there since day one. I appreciate you. Much love. My new listeners, subscribe. Go ahead and rate. And yo, holler me on Twitter. If you want to follow me on Twitter, man, there's my link is on the bottom there on the description. Thank you for listening. As long as people keep downloading and these downloads keep going up and they're blowing up, kid, your boy's going to come back week after week, man. This is your boy, E-Man. Peace. Signing off.